gospel is from the 17th chapter of John. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All of mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Nah, I couldn't find a good joke. Sorry about that. But I have four things I want to say today. And here are the four. No, three. It's only three. Oh, it's down to three already. One is, we are God's church. God's church. We are God's church. We are God's church. That's one. And then, we carry the words of truth. We carry the words of truth. And our direction, we talked some about direction just a second ago, is toward the horizon and each other. Okay, so that's the three things. And this quote here, I have this very famous quote. "Nowhere in life are we to buff out our shortcomings, but sing with them in mind." That's a good quote. I like that quote. I wrote that down. Someone very famous just said that. But I think it's a good one because that describes the church very well. Okay, so we are God's church. The Gospel of John is a funky gospel compared to all the other gospels. You know, all the other gospels are kind of, Jesus did that, Jesus does this, here's a parable that you don't understand, I'm going to do some healing, I'm going to get in trouble, die, resurrected, it's all good. But in John, you have these long conversations, like the one I just read, where I'm in you, and you're in me, and the church is in all of us. I mean, it can be very confusing. Or not. Or you can try and just say, maybe it isn't so confusing. So, in the first part of the gospel, we have, after Jesus had spoken these words, this is where he talks about how he and God are one, and the church is one with us now. That's what Jesus is saying. And you've got to remember, this prayer is a prayer. Jesus is speaking this prayer, but it's like... And I was trying to think of this, and then I read this from Barbara Rossing. She gave me this idea. So imagine, you know, if you have children, or whoever you've prayed for, but I'm thinking about if you're a parent or a grandparent, praying for a child, maybe a child who's sick, or a child who's struggling, or just praying for a child. And imagine if that child overheard you praying for them. You know, because when you're praying for God and things aren't going to God and things aren't going well, and you're saying, "God, please, you know, help my child with this thing that's a struggle for them," because children shouldn't have those struggles. So imagine the child overhearing you pray for them. Imagine a child overhearing a parent. That's what this is like. Jesus is praying to God for us. And it's like that parent praying for the child. Jesus is praying for us, for me, for you, but for us, you all, us. Because that's what the "you" is in here. It's you all. It's us. So that's as we read this whole chapter 17 and 13, 14, this whole thing with Jesus, it's us overhearing like a parent praying to a child. So it's very intimate. So Jesus says, they are now me, Lord. So watch them. And if you, a simple way, I think, if you look at verse 6 here, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me to the world. This is Jesus talking to God. They were yours, the words, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. If you put church in there, substitute church in there, and the church is us, then it starts making more sense. Now the church knows that everything you have given me is for you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to the church. And the church has received them and knows them in truth that I came from you. And the church has believed that you sent me. I am asking on the church's behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of the church that you gave me, because they are yours. So that's what I mean. We are God's church. We are God's church. And God now is watching over us in the same way that when Jesus was with the disciples and Jesus prayed to God like a parent prays for a child. We are God's church and being watched over. I think that's pretty cool. And of course the kids, I could say we are God's church and they would say profound things and they would get it. Because kids get things like that. We're a church, we're a family, we're God's. God loves us, Jesus. All of the kids' sermon answers are the right answers. We are God's church. We carry the words of truth. The church carries the words of truth. This was most clearly evident to me when, a while back, I was went to the hospital in Grace Harbor and went to see a man, a dear man in the congregation, but he was very sick and was dying and died shortly thereafter when I saw him. So I went and we prayed and I always ask, what would you like to pray for? And then we always close with the Lord's Prayer. So, we pray and he prays his prayer and I pray for him. And then we close with the words of truth, the Lord's Prayer. And you pray the Lord's Prayer however you do, but a lot of times I just pray the words, not so much meaning-filled, but I pray them because just that rhythm helps me, the rhythm of words, just like singing, the rhythm of singing, the melody of singing, that can help you and bring you to a place. So I start praying with this person, and this person prays the Lord's Prayer like, I wish this person were alive and could pray the Lord's Prayer for us every time. Because when we started, he didn't go, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It was so intentional, and every word was packed with years and years of praying this prayer. And I was so blessed to hear those words of truth. The Lord's Prayer, I've said a thousand upon thousands of times. But to hear it at that moment by this person in a hospital bed and me being ministered to, we have the words of truth and they're powerful. That old Holy Family Catholic school, they had a good one on here that I ran by it the other day, and this is what it said. Knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. And that's from Tennyson, the poet. Knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. And I think that that's what the truth that we carry, that the church carries, has. It's a lingering wisdom. It's deep. We carry the words of truth. And finally, our direction is toward the horizon and toward each other. So in the Acts reading, you heard about Jesus saying, "Hey, how's it going? I'm resurrected. Now you guys are going to go out into the world and the Spirit's going to come. So I'm out of here." And then he gets ascended and we'll hear about Pentecost with the Spirit coming down next week. But in that text, it gives us a little preview saying we are empowered by the Spirit. And our direction is toward the horizon and each other. Here's a technical term, the technical term for the week. Johannine realized eschatology. Realized eschatology. So the idea in John, when John is talking about eternal life, he's talking about life that is full and now. Not eternal life, not later, not when you're resurrected, not in the future, but now, here, and filled with joy. So eternal life is happening now. Like, for example, I feel like I'm in heaven when I'm with a bunch of kids talking about communion, talking about what direction God is, and they give me the answers, and it's like, yes, thank you for the reminder. But it's now. So that's what realize means. Eternal life is happening now, in this morning, in this moment, at this morning, in this church. We carry the truth, and we have eternal life now. That's what realize means. And eschatology means the end. So the end comes to us now. Right now. Right now. Our direction is toward the horizon and each other. As I'm fortunate enough to sit at our house and watch a sunset, I mean, you can see the sun wherever you are if you're looking, but, you know, over the water. I thought about that horizon image. That's the direction we always want to go, but simultaneously, we're stewards of each other. Not only are we always moving in a direction, because we should be, and it should be outward, so this is a wonderful building and a wonderful space, but like the Acts reading suggested, we're not called to be a church that stays in a building and loves each other here and then goes out and isn't church anymore. We're called to bear those words outward on the horizon. And there is a school, I know, horizon. And we're supposed to go beyond that too. I know that. And Mountain View is a great place to go. And going to Africa is a great place to go to help children there. But that's that horizon part. And then stewards with each other. We carry the words of truth, all of us. Like one of the kids said, love is in our hearts. The people who bring those boxes bring love of Jesus to remind them that they are part of this one church as well. We are God's church. We carry the word of truth. Our direction is toward the horizon and each other. Nowhere in life are we to buff out our shortcomings, but sing with them in mind. That's the beauty of God's church. All are welcome. All can know that truth and love. And we care for each other. And we can be cared for by an 18-year-old who's making bows that will last forever. That's so awesome. A luthier. Did I say that right? A luthier. I didn't know I was going to learn that today. The gifts of God for the people of God. That's what it's about. We are God's church. Thanks be to God. Amen.